Moms, are you raising your kids to believe they can create the life of their dreams? Are you living your life that way as well? Living an awakened life means more than just talking about it. Join host Debbie Pokornik on Vibrant Powerful Moms as she shares practical tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests, all geared at helping you create and live an extraordinary life. It's time to stand firmly in your power and model the life you want for your kids to inherit. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. My guest today is a beautiful woman by the name of Maggie Ray. Now, I first met Maggie over 10 years ago when I attended a parenting convention for parent educators, and Maggie was one of my workshop facilitators. I immediately fell in love with her, in part because our message to the world was just so strongly connected, but also because she's just such a beautiful soul. And so we ended up staying in touch for several years. Now, as so often happens, we kind of drifted apart, and apparently the universe didn't like that, because just recently we reconnected when Maggie was promoting a book that she co-authored called Ignite Your Life for Conscious Leaders, which is designed to ignite and inspire those individuals on the planet working towards a better future for everyone. Now, I'm guessing from that you can see why we'd be connected, but I just have to tell you that I always like to go to a person's website before I have them on the show and take a look at it. I had been to Maggie's before, so I wasn't going to, and then I thought, oh, it's probably changed. So I went. And I got to tell you, one of her opening lines is, connect with your authentic self and create deep, meaningful relationships at home, at work, and at play. So can you see how connected this woman and I are? It's just amazing. We use so much of the same language, and there's just so much there. So anyways, back to my original story. I reached out to Maggie. We set up a time to chat, and so now she is able to be here with us. Now today, Maggie is here to help us all connect and create a world powered by love by teaching us how to inspire heartfelt communication and cooperation in all of our relationships, but especially at home with our families. Maggie is an international speaker and author of several books and programs. One of my favorites is 9 Ways to Bring Out the Best in You and Your Child. And she works internationally with individual clients to help them clear inner beliefs and conditioning that keep them repeating debilitating patterns that they don't want to pass on to their children. Her current passion is helping leaders, emerging or established, to connect deeply with their innate soul power so that they can shine their light as brightly as possible and make a substantial difference in the world. Now, in case you're not fully connecting the dots, as a mother, you are a leader. And if you aren't currently raising kids and you're listening to this show, you are still a leader. So I am very excited to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Maggie Ray. Maggie, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. What a beautiful introduction. And I feel so connected to you. It's amazing.
It really is. It's mind-blowing. So I would love to give you an opportunity to help our listeners connect with you a little bit. What are 1 to 3 things about yourself that feel relevant to being a vibrant and powerful mom?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, Debbie, is that I am perfectly imperfect. I make lots and lots and lots of mistakes, and I really like to know that that is normal and natural. So that's the big thing. And I like to be able to live my life and be honest about that and let my kids live the life that they are and that they have. So that's a couple things. And
how old are your kids? Like your kids are?
Oh, my kids are now 34. Now. Yeah, 34, 32, and 29. And I have a granddaughter as well. So that is so fun. And I guess that's the third thing. Fun. fun is part of my life. It's a huge value in our family, and it's what makes life go round.
Nice. Love it. Perfectly imperfect. That's a line I use all the time too. My goodness, people are going to be going, do these guys just steal each other's stuff? Anyway, so let's talk. I mean, there is so much that we could cover here that already we know that there's a possibility of us doing more than one show because there's just so much valuable information that you could share. Let's start with these three essential keys that you have for bringing more peace, joy, and harmony into our lives. What are they?
Well, they're easy to remember because they're connect, connect, and connect.
Nice.
It's the most important thing. Just like real estate, location, location, location. If we don't have that connection, then nothing else is really going to work. And when I think of connecting, I think connecting deeply with my eternal self, my essential self, with the deepest part of me, and taking time to do that, connecting with my emotions, so my connection with me. And secondly, to encourage my children to connect deeply with who they are rather than trying to fit them into the status quo and condition them in the same way that many of us have been conditioned to sort of not feel that because that's not appropriate in this, but to actually encourage them to connect with who they are. And then, of course, the third connect is let's connect together. And how do we do that? And how do we create this heartfelt, flowing communication that just feels so good to be around and permeates the whole house and everything we do?
That is beautiful. I love that. I love them all, but I especially love the allowing our kids, helping them to connect to who they really are. Because it seems like so much of what we do is done because we're concerned about how other people are viewing what we're doing and, you know, judging us. So I just think that's such a key piece. Beautiful.
Yeah, many of us have been so conditioned to present the right image that we get caught in the image and forget who we are. And when our kids get caught into that, they get very confused, and then they're going to either rebel or try to acquiesce. But there's a deep kind of resentment, I think, that enters into our lives when we feel like we must present a certain image for the sake of the world or for the sake of living up to somebody else's expectations.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. I get this vision when you said that. I saw a box, and I saw a box that had started to rip. And so the person had kind of taped it up, right? And then they tape it up again because each one of these rips is their effort to be who they truly are. And then they get, you know, that bad response, let's say, from people around them, maybe their parents in some cases. And so they put another piece of tape, right? And you end up with this box. You can just see this box completely covered in all this tape trying to hold them together as a person when it's not who they're even meant to be in the first place.
Oh, we are connected, Debbie, because I have a story that is about remembering the light and how we're born into this world as a light, put on a lampshade, and then we start to feel we need to decorate that lampshade, and we get so busy decorating the lampshade that we forget we're the light, and so fear enters the life of the lamp. And it's really only when, and that's why we go about our trials and tribulations in life, and then there's a crack in the lampshade and we can't take it anymore. And the real us, we let loose with all of the emotions that we have stuffed down and cry them out, which is a wonderful thing to do, actually releases all kinds of toxins and brings all kinds of relief. And then in that, we remember that we are this light.
Nice. That we're not the lampshade at all.
No, we have a lampshade, we have a body, and that's part of the connection. We connect with our body, they're transformative, they're amazing, that's what we're here for, but we are not the body. And yes, we are not our personality or the image that we're trying to produce either. And if we identify with those, we're going to have a lot of troubles. And that's what we've been conditioned to do, most of us, through traditional kinds of parenting and through the school system and everywhere we go.
Yes.
And that's what we want to be able to avoid doing with our children while still giving them the tools that they need to function in our society.
Yes. And you know, it's so interesting as I'm listening to you say that. Now, I know we're not even getting into our questions here that we've come here to talk about today, but this all feels so very relevant anyway.
Well, I think that there is that pressure, you know, for us to be able to get our children to perform well in society, to do well, to rise above the crowd. And that when we are driven by that, we can end up sort of driving our children into our version of what that is. Somebody once said to me, and it was so powerful, you know, how we are writing our own play here on earth, and let's just step back and write that, but don't try to write all the sub-characters who are your children and other people in your life, and write their script.
Yes.
Stay with our own.
Absolutely. And that is exactly what I was going to go into that prompted me nicely, is that our kids actually teach us so much about ourselves when we allow them to help guide us rather than seeing everything as us having to guide them.
Exactly. And that's the essence of connection, really. It's often like one of the things that I love to say is let's go beyond the role and connect soul to soul.
Yeah.
And actually, in one of my little 9 ways to bring out the best in you and your child, especially when they misbehave, that's one of the major principles. And parents have told me that when their children listen to the stories and listen to that, they love that. That's the one that stands out for them. That, yeah, connect role to role or connect soul to soul. Because when we're a child, we often are on the downside of things. We have to do what our parents say. And it feels like we're eternally flipping this coin. And when we, you know, and that they end up essentially losing lots of times. But when we're connecting soul to soul, I'm just sharing with my children what I'm learning.
Love and, it. Yeah. Okay, so you say that connection is the key to healing our world, and that feels like it ties in so beautifully here with what we're talking about. So what do you mean by that?
Well, even when we look at dis-ease in the body, it's a piece of our body that is not connecting with the whole. It's kind of a vacant thing. Everything's going around that. And it feels to me like if we really connect with who we are, the magnificence, the power, the loving, amazing beings that we are, and we bring that here, that connection can heal everything. It can heal relationships. It can heal our bodies. It can heal our world. When we connect with our earth, we wouldn't do what we do to it if we really felt the earth. So it's reestablishing that connection, which is love, which feels wonderful.
Very nice. So I'm picturing a parent listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, I feel so disconnected from my child right now. How do I even start to reconnect?
Well, the start of reconnection is connecting with our own true self, with taking the time and choosing to spend it in breathing deeply into our own bodies, connecting with our bodies. Even humming through our bodies can reconnect us. And as I said, the bodies are so transformative. So as soon as we do that, we are reconnecting with us and owning our emotions rather than projecting them. That's the first step in reconnecting with our children, is to reconnect with ourselves.
Very nice. You know, it's funny, as you say that, one of the tips I often tell people, I have this emergency sheet for when you're caught in a power struggle and you're just not sure how to get out of it, you know, because now there you are. And of course, the first thing is for you to take a breath and calm yourself down, because if you can't calm yourself down, you're not going to end the struggle. And one of the things I love to share is humming, because for me, that just always helped to zap me right out of that escalating anger trap that I was headed into and bring me right back into my body.
Yes, it does. And there's lots of evidence now in sound healing of how healing it is. And when our children see us doing that to reconnect with us and they start humming pretty soon, you got a pretty happy family humming along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if your humming doesn't sound happy, you're not there yet. Just saying.
Well, often what we want to be able to do is to connect with the sound of that emotion, no matter what it is. That's okay. But eventually, once we release that, because sometimes, you know, the groaning and children's crying. Oh, we don't like to hear the children crying. And we think that we are a bad mom. I had a daughter who was so upset for years and years. I had eczema and she was irritated. She cried. And it really wasn't until I accepted that I could not stop her crying. And all I could do was to connect with the deepest love that I had for her and hold her in the middle of the night in one of her screaming fits and just coach myself, I'm a good parent. I'm a good parent. I'm helping her to release her toxins and her discomfort. And, you know, she calmed right down in about 10 minutes. It was actually the turning point where I realized that this crying is either going to drive me crazy or it's going to drive me to my center. And
right.
I get to choose. So going to that peaceful, loving place inside ourselves and allowing sometimes that uncomfortableness of how we feel to flow through first so that that beautiful humming can come in.
Yes. Well, I must say humming has always been one of my favorite tools, but I'm also a very auditory person. And so sound really works well for me. And I think it works well for all of us, just certain people are even more drawn to sound than others. So, how about when we talk about our children? Like, how do we help our children connect with their true power and still be the authority that we need to be in their lives?
That's a great question, because so often we feel like we need to be able to control them and tell them what to do. But again, if I bring my power back to this is what I will do, and then I start to really connect with them and be curious. I think that's the first thing, is that turn that judgment of our child, because we're always judging our children and ourselves as to do we fit into whatever we're trying to create. Turn judgment when our child acts out into curiosity.
Perfect.
And just really allow myself to listen to my child and find out where's this coming from, what's happening for them, and to be open to letting them express without trying to correct. See, that's the key. One parent said to me in one class, you know, I couldn't understand why Jeremy just wouldn't listen to me. It worked with my other kids to sort of tell them, you do the punishment reward thing, but he just wasn't listening at all. And she says, and then I realized that I was acting as if correcting him was more important than connecting with him.
That is so beautiful.
Oh, we all felt it, because there's so much pressure on parents to correct our children, to get them to fit. And really, ultimately, we do need to let that go and connect deeply with them and become curious about them. One quick, maybe not so quick, but an exercise that we can do is to find 50 qualities that we see in our child, and then to let them know that we see that quality when we see it. You know, kindness, for example. Wow, that was so thoughtful and kind of you to go and get your sister's teddy bear when she was crying. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's how we help them see within themselves their qualities, their strengths. And they go, yeah, wow, I'm a great big brother.
Yes. You know, that has long been one of my things about praise. I'm very careful talking about praise because people have such different ideas about what it means. But when I teach it, that's exactly what I like to teach, is zero in on on the virtue or the quality that you're seeing that you love, and then let them know how, like, you know, so like you just said, you're just such a kind big brother. And I love that you did that for your sister or whatever the case might be. It tells them so much more than just saying, hey, good job, buddy.
Exactly. And I think that the other thing in terms of helping children really feel good about themselves and connect with themselves is give them space to express whatever they want to express. Mm-hmm. And when we give them that space, give them our full present moment attention, our full acceptance of what they are wanting to express without correcting them, and just to give them that attention, because lots of times that's overlooked. Mm-hmm.
It is. So I feel like people want you to go into that a little bit deeper, because we hear a lot about present moment, and you and I both know that that's easier said than done sometimes. So could you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of how they would do that?
Well, again, a lot of it is bringing my attention back to me and saying, I am here in this moment, and there is only this moment. Breathe deeply. Make myself present. Mm-hmm. Feel the energy of me being here, being curious about what my child has to say, and just totally giving that child the attention. Not going to my cell phone, not trying to do 1,000 things, getting ready for dinner or whatever it is, but just say, this is my moment to listen to my child. Nice. And be there. Or if I'm doing something with them, like I found out, you know what? It doesn't take any more time to mindfully help my child into their coat with gentleness and kindness than it does to try to shove their hands and their feet into it. As I'm, you know, picking something else up and going out the door. It's just, wow, what is my state of being? If I am present, I can be present with my child. So, and that curiosity again is just such a key.
It is. It is such a key piece. You know, I love that. I love that description of mindfully helping them into their jacket. Or even when you sit down to play with them, because how often do we do that? And, you know, we are thinking about, okay, so what am I going to make for supper? Or, I wonder if hubby's going to be home on time, if we're going to be able to get to, you know, whatever it might be, it is distracting you from that moment that you are actually in. So I love that description that you just gave.
And I respect that parents are busier than they've ever been, it seems. But remember that this child is the most important thing to me. And I can set a timer. You know, if you have a little 3-minute egg timer, or if you have a timer that goes ding, and your child knows, wow, this time is just for them. And you know, wow, this time is just for my child. And you give them 3 to 5 minutes of playing fully present and mindfully with them. They're going to be satisfied and keep playing with what they're doing. And you can go and do what you want to do and give it your full attention. And everybody's going to be happier.
Yes. Yes. So true. I even talked about it in my book. It's so true. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep, you know, showing the commonalities. It's just that so often when you speak, I think, you know, that could be me just talking. I like how you sound, though. Very nice.
Oh, I love how we resonate together, Debbie. And I would love this message to resonate out further to everyone, because we, you know, need to connect now in a really big and important way. And it's never been more important, because our children, I'm talking with parents now who are saying, wow, I have an 11-year-old and a 17-year-old, and it's a different world for the 11-year-old. I feel like our children are being hijacked by technology. Because they all have cell phones. My 17-year-old didn't have a cell phone when he was 11. But the 11-year-olds now, they all have cell phones, and they're all disappearing into them. And I'm talking with parents who are seriously concerned about their child being addicted. Mm. And they're afraid to take away the cell phone for any period of time because of the temper tantrum or the reaction that's going to follow. So it's what an important thing for us to remember to connect, connect, connect with our children. And that's Absolutely. What the basis of their self-esteem is going to be, is the quality of connection they have with the most important people in their lives.
That is so true. And I don't know about you, but the more I practice connection, the more I just feel my heart expanding with every interaction. And the more I do that, the more loving I feel towards everybody and everything. And the more patience I have, the easier it is for me to be mindful, the easier it is for me to bring out the best in other people. And really, that's what it's all about, right? When we connect like that. So.
It does, and it feels, as you said, so good inside ourselves. All that I give is given to me.
Absolutely.
As I give it, when I give this sense of quality, connection, and love, it fills my life.
Yes.
And my child as well.
Beautiful. So we have used up all our time. However, I really do want us to get to talk about some of the tools and strategies to help our families communicate, and especially the heart opening communication circles that we're talking about. So you and I were talking about it before the show, in case people are going, what? I missed that part. Let me tell people how to find out more about you, and then we are going to close off today's show, but we will do another one right away so that we're able to put them back to back week to week, and you can just go right to wait for the next week and listen to that one. Does that sound okay, Maggie?
Wonderful.
Okay. So to find out more about Maggie, you can head over to her website, which is her name, maggieray.com. Ray is spelled R-E-I-G-H. And as usual, that website will also be posted on my blog at vibrantpowerfulmoms.com. So you can just go there, push the link if you somehow mess up the spelling or whatever. And when you're there, you can pick up a copy of 5 Strategies to Deal with the Child Who Resists Communicating. So that will be very helpful. And I want you to know that Maggie also trains people to lead heart opening communication circles. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in this next interview, but there will be information for that on her website. And I just strongly encourage you to reach out to Maggie if you have any questions and want more information. Maggie, thank you so, so much for coming on the show with us today, for shining your light for us. I truly, truly appreciate you. And so a big thank you to you, our listeners, as well. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Maggie Ray, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
Thank you, Debbie.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please share it with others to help spread the love. To find out more about Debbie, pick up free offers from the show, and listen to previous episodes, visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.